take item one first.
Item one, from the Milwaukee County Comptroller, requesting authorization to amend chapters 32, 44, 56, and 110 of the Milwaukee County Code of General Ordinances to clarify and unify the appeal procedures for all county contracts and bids, and to provide further direction to department heads in the preparation and execution of requests for proposals for professional services. At your May 8, 2014 meeting, this item was laid over to the call of the chair.
Mr. Chair, prior to diving into item number one, could we have the rationale for the removal of number five?
It's my discretion on under chapter one. The rules allow an item to be withdrawn before the committee.
Well, I understand that. As chairing the Parks Committee, I do it often, but I'm wondering the reason for it.
Some discussion with members about the number of things that they still haven't had. No one's had time, apparently, to get any of their alternatives together. There's been a lot of discussion about different changes people wanted, and no one's actually been able to bring anything forward yet. So,
will we exceed the time limitation necessary, should this be scheduled for July, to get it onto the ballot?
No. The deadline is August 25th or 6th.
Is that correct?
And there are no other procedural reasons or ways in which this would not come before the committee next cycle.
All right, thank you.
It will be on and it will not be removed. That item's not in front of us.
Not a procedural. The fact is, then if it's vetoed by the county exec, that veto will be, just like last time, upheld, because we will not have the ability to come back in time to have it.
All right, we're on item one. Supervisor Borkowski.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Item number one, and I know colleagues, this has been a huge issue for the last 9 months, and I think we're getting closer to some resolution, if you will. The reason I'm speaking now is that in our packet, we had an original resolution that missed some key pieces, including a chapter that needs to be installed. And so I am going to ask that we put in the substitute resolution for the resolution. I want to do that prior to any discussion. I don't know, Mr. Chairman, do we have to vote on that? I'm going to motion that we substitute the substitute resolution for the resolution before us.
Very good. The comptroller has provided the substitute resolution, but because the file was already existing, this is the procedure that would be necessary to get the most current version being recommended in front of us. Supervisor Weishaupt.
Thank you, Chair. Could we get a hard copy of something that is the version we're dealing with today? I'm not clear exactly.
Okay. If you've printed from the file, it is titled a substitute resolution ordinance at the top of the resolution. It's in the.
I have a hard copy. Would you like to make copies of this?
How many copies do we have? Anyone else need?
I would like one too.
That's good.
I would too.
Four or five copies. Five, six copies then, please. All right. Well, let's wait then on the substitute. That motion will be in front of us, but we'll let the comptroller begin, and perhaps you can explain the difference in the substitute as well.
Yeah. Good morning, members of the committee, Chair. The resolution that you have in front of you the original resolution regarded changes to chapters 32, 44, 56, and 110. The chair of the committee pointed out the last time that we did not have anything dealing with chapter 46. Chapter 46 is purchase of service contracts regarding DHHS. So when they enter into contract discussions and they enter into agreements with community agencies to provide services, we wanted to fold that in here regarding Chapter 110. when we talk to the Department of Human Services of how they deal with things under Chapter 46, Chapter 46 is silent regarding any dispute resolution. When we ask them, you know, how do you do the dispute resolution, what they include in their RFPs is they refer to Chapter 110. So they have been using the Chapter 110 process, however, the ordinances never reflected that fact. So when we made a the substitute resolution will have in it a reference to Chapter 46 and a change now to refer to the new section of Chapter 110. So what we're proposing here is to leave Chapter 110 intact, but we are adding a section in there called 110.20 for contract award appeals, and it would only relate to contract award appeals. The rest of Chapter 110 would remain in effect for any dispute resolutions. For example, I think we had said that there had been some issues maybe regarding parks, regarding use of a facility at some time, and other dispute resolutions that had been used over the years. What this would be specifically related to would be contract award appeals. So only regarding professional services, which is Chapter 32, Chapter 44, Chapter 46, purchase of service, and Chapter 32, which is contracts done by procurement. Chapter 56 is professional services. Chapter 46 is purchase of service. So we went through each of those sections and now are making modifications of those so that they refer to the new section 110.20 for contract award appeals. And what we've done into the 110.20 is what we've done into there is added into the process so a time frame of how long departments have and what they should be including within their RFP processes. So it gives a time frame for anybody who takes exception, any bidder that takes exception to it, may submit a request for review of the notice of intent to award a contract, and they have 10 business days to do that from the determination date. The county then can respond to that, and the county should do that within 15 days, but they have up to 45 days for that individual department to respond to that item. After receiving that response, the bidder could say that they're still not satisfied with that, and they can then send back within 5 business days that they take exception to that and that they want to have a contract award review performed. And at that point in time, then, that would start the process where a contract award reviewer would be assigned to the proposal. Now, the change that's in here, so that would be a difference from what's currently in place, because what's currently in place is the contract usually is taken to the committee, and then board members and others are assigned, I think it's by the chair of the committee, are assigned to that committee. So in this case, what it would do is just create a contract award reviewer. There would be a process where the county exec would assign a position to the contractor, assign an individual, up to 3 individuals, to the contract award reviewer, and those people would then have to be approved by the county board. The contract award reviewer, and these are in the sections, the sole question to be determined by the contract award reviewer is whether substantial rights of a party were so materially affected by the procedural irregularities during an RFP or bid solicitation process that the notice of intent to award should be rescinded. So that they found the process was not followed that was laid out in the RFP, and if the contract award reviewer finds that fact, then certain actions can be taken. He can say you have to redo the RFP. The process has to start over again for that process. But the main thing, he's trying to determine if the process was not done properly. So there are changes, as I said, there are changes to other ordinance sections. The main changes to the other ordinance sections are only to now refer to 110.20 for contract award review. And then the main change to 110 is the carve-out for just contract awards is this new 110.20 with a time frame process of how the review would work and a contract award review process, including a contract award reviewer. So that process was put forward just as to making a change for it, and I had looked to this as being a possible solution so that when the board receives any item from a department regarding RFPs or regarding the approval of the contract, you as the committees can receive all of the information regarding that RFP review.
Supervisor Borkowski.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Mansky, I know you and your team and others have collaborated on this. And like I had mentioned in my previous remarks, we've been spending like the last 9 months trying to get to this stage. And I recognize that nothing is foolproof, but in light of the issues that we've had that have led to this, is it your professional opinion that this is about as good as we're going to be able to do at this stage? I mean, I recognize that, you know, nothing's perfect, but we've found some shortfalls, and so I'm looking to see if we can, fill in some of those gaps.
Chair, members of the committee, supervisor, I think this is a good process that we're outlining here. We're trying to cut down the number of days that it takes to get through the process, taking it to an individual, a contract award reviewer. One of the supervisors has pointed out we may need to make sure that we have the correct individual who is a contract award reviewer. I think that's one change that possibly can be made to this. But I think this is a good process that will add to what we're doing. And I don't expect this section to be used a lot. I think there's just been a lot of focus on this recently. But just simply to have it in place and have the process there, I think, is a good idea.
Thank you.
Supervisor Weisser.
I think, Mr. Chairman, you've been with Milwaukee County for a long time. We've had this review process. What all of a sudden now we need to change things? Why didn't this come up earlier, or why are we dealing with this now?
One of the reasons that when I brought this up initially, I brought this up back in March or April of last year, and the reason that I looked at this process was I felt somewhat frustrated by, I think it was one of the contracts, and I can't remember which contract it was, coming before one of the committees, and where the committees were asking for certain information to be provided to them, and they could not provide it to them because the information could not, because it had not been resolved yet, the contract process, and because there were bidders that took exception to the issue. And I think one of the things that occurred after that, it was determined that it needed to flow through this process, but I saw it as an opportunity to make a change to the process from a frustration that I saw at that point in time. And I wanted to kind of just kind of simplify it and make it a little bit more streamlined to the process. That's the main reasons why I saw started with my frustration, and then it just looked, is there a better way to possibly do this? And this is what I came up with.
Well, that one instance out of, you know, the 150 years we've been here, I just think that there's multiple reasons why we have different appeal processes for different, you could say, categories of purchases and different types of services that Milwaukee County purchases. I don't quite understand how going to a small pool of three people on a for a reviewer pool appointed by the county executive is somehow opening some big transparent window for good governance here. And in fact, I see that, you know, the problem, if you're a bidder and you have a problem with a contract, your problem is with the administration. And then now that administration is going to select a reviewer and go through that process. And I don't see anything in here that's saying that these will be like a public hearing where people can come and listen and they'll be open to everyone. And I know we always get hung up on a few little words here when you say substantially impaired. So there may be some problems with the RFP process not being followed, but then the reviewer can say, well, yes, you were harmed, but not enough to rebid it. And I think that kind of stuff, I don't see that as an improvement. And then I noticed there was a prohibition in here about people contacting their supervisor or any supervisor. Yet, if we're not in the process, what's the harm in someone contacting their local elected official?
This process does not take away from the supervisor's ability to still vote on the item when the item is finally gotten through the review process. It's really saying that, as you said, it's really that department's issue of getting through the bids. And as a result of it's that department's issue to get through the bids, then they should get it resolved, the bidding process that was there. They should get the RFP done. They should get to the point where you have something to vote on. And then the discussions occur as the discussions occur with the board to get the final approval of the final approved bidder. It's, to me, it's part of that administrative process and for that department to complete that process. And so going through this just is saying administratively you have to get this resolved up to the very end, you as the department who did the bid. And by having this group who is from the outside, a reviewer, somebody who specializes in doing RFPs, somebody who specializes in, has been doing procurements, it just, it kind of tells us in the process too, is did a department do it right? Did they follow the right rules? And can we make changes? It's kind of like a review process to make sure that they've done the right thing too. And that if they have to redo the bid, then they have to redo the bid.
The problem with that, though, is what you're not, they're not independent. They're appointed by the county exec. The same department heads that and people work for the county executive created this process. And then the reviewers are people who are appointed by the county executive. And I think what you're creating is a system where even if you are harmed, if you're bitter and you feel you've been harmed, you're not going to feel that there's a fair and honest system, and so you're not going to file an appeal. And then when you start to put in things where you have to pay half of the review cost if it goes to that. So you're an honest bidder. You put in your bid. You get screwed over by the county. You got to go through all of this, and then you're going to pay half of the review cost for the people who screwed you over. To me, that doesn't make any sense. And people will, after the first go-around, will say, you know what? I'm just not going to either bid on county contracts, or if I lose, I'm not going to worry about appealing because it's not a fair and just system. So I don't see how any of these improvements, or I don't call them improvements, these changes are actually an improvement to the system What you do is you create a system that is so polluted, nobody wants to use it, and then these contracts come to the board, and we just have a chance to give it a thumbs up or a thumbs down. If there was like what we do in some of the arbitration issues, where you go back and forth and you pick until you come down to one person, and that would be the reviewer out of a pool of maybe a dozen, that would be something. But to have three people who are on standby that get a paycheck, and the reason that they're getting that is because they were appointed by the county exec, the likelihood that they're going to go against the administration is slim to none on this stuff. And so you're just going to end up with a sham process. So I haven't heard any real compelling arguments on anything to change our system as of yet. And in fact, the one instance that did light the fuse, the MV contract, I think the county board and our process worked, and that we ended up not having a poor vendor get awarded a contract because of the process we had in place. So I don't see how these changes make anything any better. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Very good. The motion before us is to substitute resolution. Just for everyone's, the section that was added is section 9. It's lines 628 through 767. Correct me if I'm wrong. So everyone's aware of that. So the yes, that was adding chapter 46 to the to those chapters which are considered under the new process.
Mr. Chairman, just on that point.
Grady?
The only chapter 46 is recited in here, but the only new part of that is starting at line 765. It's only one sentence that's new.
Thank you. I'm sorry, Supervisor Johnson. Did you?
No, I wanted to talk about something else, Mr. Chairman. If I'm okay with the motion to substitute.
Okay. All right. With that, on the motion to substitute. So the question is, should the substitute resolution be substituted?
Supervisors Borkowski.
Aye.
Johnson.
Aye.
Weishan.
No.
Roderick.
Aye.
Rainey.
Aye.
Staskunis.
Aye.
Mr. Chair.
Aye.
There are 6 ayes, 1 no. The motion to substitute prevails.
Okay, thank you. All right, the substitute's in front of us. Supervisor Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Massey, I have a very serious concern about pricing. One of the last contracts that was considered by the board related to cost or pricing. I went to a conference this weekend. One of the workshops I attended was on the best practices for request for proposal, do's and don'ts. And an example was given on a table by which a previous vendor, and we all know the RFP process is such that vendors produce whatever information has to be produced according to the RFP, the requirements of the RFP, but this previous vendor for 5 categories similar to what happened with one of the contracts we had recently had higher scores than the vendor that eventually got the contract. And the contract and the vendor which got the contract had the highest score as related to cost or pricing. So I'm concerned with respect to this change in process that we're considering, that something like what happened here and what happened here could continue. Is there anything in here, or could happen again, is there anything in here related to cost or pricing that these reviewers would look at? Would they use, because of their experience, would they use best practices to come up with and look at what happened and just say, well, for whatever was given, that's okay. However the process was to determine cost of pricing, that's okay. I'm very serious about this. I want to see what in here, with respect to the three reviewer panel, what provision is in here as it relates to cost of pricing. Otherwise, as far as I'm concerned, we're going potentially to a situation that we just left. And why would we substitute this panel for our administrative determination review committee? So if anybody can answer that, I'd appreciate it.
Right. With Mr. Chair, members of the committee, the intention of this ordinance change here is for the review process of after the RFP is done and the bid is awarded. It doesn't really deal with the part of the setting up of the RFP and the determination of the various, because when you set up an RFP, you give certain weighting to different issues. Mm-hmm. Cost is one of the issues. Expertise is another issue. Various items and points or percentages are given when the RFP is issued, just to indicate, you know, here's the reasons and how we're going to kind of weight this item for purposes of the final bid. So if the RFP was set up to say that how the cost factors were determined, this is only going to review to see that, you know, was that process followed? And as you indicated, that possibility could occur from the process, which means what? Which means then you need to hold to an RFP process. You need to say, you know, towards the RFP process, what are the factors that I need to do here? How do I need to do it so that I don't run into these cost issues or other types of things? So it's kind of like at the very beginning point, that's what you have to deal with. So this only deals with the reviewer receiving what he receives as being what was placed out there for the RFP. This doesn't deal with, you know, a standard or whatever that is established for when you do your RFP process. That has to be
that's a separate process.
I mean, the point you make can occur, and but in this case, the reviewer is only going to see what was established at the beginning. There needs to be standards set, which means as a result, you make a very good point. There needs to be standards set at the very beginning, saying when you establish an RFP, you need to have these types of standards that are used. And for purposes of costing, for purposes of how you do your bids for price, and for evaluation and those types of things. That I kind of see as kind of heads together with procurement, human services, other departments, construction contracts, all of those types of things. And there might be different standards for different items. Your contract for community services is probably going to be different from how you do your RFP process for a construction contract. But to me, that's a little bit out of this process, but these reviewers would be left with that. If you don't set up in the beginning your standards, then you're going to be left with problems at this point in time.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, I would like to I just wanted to make that point because, to me, that's very serious. Why should our why should our administrative determination review committee be supplanted by this change? And that's very much a concern of mine. But nevertheless, at the last meeting, I did ask that some standards, some criteria would be offered as it relates to the reviewers. Because I can't, as far as I'm concerned, then the county executive could just pick anybody who had maybe some very limited experience in the procurement field to be one of these reviewers. So I appreciate Director Lee collaborating with your office to come up with what I am offering as an amendment, just as it relates to reviewers. Now, other supervisors probably have more comments as it relates to this process, but I at least want to offer this amendment at this time, Mr. Chairman.
Okay.
I move approval of the amendment.
Very good. Amendment number one is should have been distributed and is in front of us.
The amendment, each qualified reviewer would have at least current certification as a certified public procurement official or an equivalent, a master's degree or higher, a minimum of 7 years of experience as procurement officer, chief procurement officer for a public entity, a minimum of 5 years experience in determinations of for public procurement legal matters, as an example, protest stays and appeals and stays. So we're talking about people who are very vetted, very qualified in order to at least do the review process, as opposed to someone who, as I said earlier, would have limited experience. So as I said, Mr. Chairman, I move approval of the I move to adopt the amendment.
Very good. Questions on the amendment? I do have a question for Attorney Grady. Have you seen the amendment?
Yes.
The way I read it, it's they have to have all of those credentials. Credential 3 is rather specific. It appears to identify a specific title. Would it be interpreted to be that or the equivalent? That's not the explicit language.
Mr. Chairman, I would interpret that. Every government uses different titles for different positions, so I would say that, for example, I don't know what Waukesha County uses or Ozaukee County uses, but if you were going to go to that person, it would be the equivalent of the chief procurement officer, whatever they call them. But you are correct that it does require all four of those things, so you will always have at least a procurement officer for a public entity who possesses the other three qualifications as well. So you'll never have anybody under this amendment who's from private industry.
Or, Mr. Chairman, I would be amenable to striking chief because the 7 years of experience would be important, and the chief would be the top person, and there are so many top persons who are out in the universe, so I would then be amenable to striking chief as a procurement officer. As a procurement officer, I would add Article A for a public entity. In other words, we're talking about public work as opposed to government work as opposed to private sector.
Procedurally, how do I? It's his own amendment. I would ask for unanimous consent to allow Supervisor Johnson to modify his amendment in that manner, such that it would be before us with chief being replaced by A. So that it would read on third bullet point, a minimum 7 years of experience as a procurement officer for a public entity. Seeing no objection, so ordered. Other questions or comments on the amendment? Seeing none, on the amendment for adoption, on Amendment 1.
Supervisors Borkowski.
Aye.
Johnson.
Aye.
Weishan.
Aye.
Roderick.
Aye.
Rainey.
Aye.
Stats-Kunis.
Aye.
Mr. Chair.
Aye.
7 ayes, 0 noes. The amendment prevails.
Okay.
Yes, amended.
Supervisor Borkowski moves adoption as amended.
I do.
Supervisor Stats-Kunis.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I wanted to get back to Supervisor Johnson's question to Mr. Mansky because, again, I know that there was an initial draft back in March of 2013, but it was sort of put to the side until the MV Transit situation came up. And, you know, the answer that I heard from Mr. Mansky is that nothing in this new procedure would prevent a contract like the MV contract from going through, one in which 80% of the scoring was for qualitative service, 20% was for pricing, and yet the contract was awarded to the person who prevailed on pricing only and was deficient on every qualitative measure that went through. And you know what the Administrative Determination Review Committee came up with said that's not right. You know, you've got 80% for quality, 20% for price, but yet price rules the day. And what I heard the answer from Mr. Manske to Supervisor Johnson is, well, so be it. Those things happen, and that would have gotten through the process. And I have some concern with that, because now we're going to have it seems like we've already got a procurement process where, even though we say that we're weighing quality much heavier than price, the reality is that price governs who gets the contract, at least it did in the MV circumstance. And now we don't have an appeals process to sort of weed out contract bidders who maybe bid in an unreasonably or an unrealistically low price but can't do the job. I don't know how that's an improvement to what we have right now.
The Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Supervisor, what I indicated was that this is the process for the review at the end. If you don't take care of the beginning part of the process by setting standards at the beginning part of the process, you know, for how you do RFPs, how you determine, and unless people get their heads together and talk about how is the best way to do an RFP and the ranking and pricing and doing all of that, that's got to walk hand in hand, you know, with the items. But this is just the part of the process regarding the review. And yes, if you don't change the beginning part of the process, if you don't come to standards regarding the RFP and how you do the RFP, then you could end up with items at this point of the process which, you know, become difficult to be fixed. So this is only the review part of the process. We have to make sure that we set standards at the beginning for RFPs. And the procurement office, I think, is working on some of those standards, but we have to, in essence, get together with people, get together with the departments to make sure that we set certain standards for that. I mean, you are correct in that matter. But the point of this is just changing the review process at the end. My point was that you could be left with the same type of thing if you don't make sure that there are certain standards at the beginning.
I could. I think Mr. Grady would like to also comment to your question.
Attorney Grady. Chairman, Supervisors, thank you. I just want to try and piggyback or echo what Mr. Manske has said, but maybe a little more nuanced. This process, this appeal process, is going to apply to all forms of contracts pretty much that we have. And so when you talk about price, there are some situations like public works contracts where, generally speaking, price is the driver. It's what you want to be the driver. Those are still going to be subject to this process. At the other extreme, you have contracts, typically professional services, where price may not be the driver. You may not want it to be the driver. And not that we do this a lot around here, but the simple example is if you're going to go to have surgery, you might be willing to pay a surgeon a little bit more if you're getting an internationally renowned heart surgeon versus somebody who's not. And so for some services, you would pay more for higher quality. And so price isn't the determinant. But that's not what this process is about. This process isn't about how do we write RFPs and how much do we assign to price and how much do we assign to quality. It's about, given what's in the RFP, did the department administer the RFP correctly, or is it a fair RFP? And so in the recent examples with transit and some of the other cases we've had, some portions of that of those complaints would be reviewed by this reviewer. So, for example, if the complaint is, you told us to bid based on per-unit pricing, and instead that RFP, that bidder who you awarded the contract to, didn't do per unit pricing. They did some sort of flat pricing. That's a violation, and that's something this contract reviewer can review. They didn't follow the process. They didn't submit the correct kind of bid. It wasn't responsive. Or somehow in the scoring, they didn't do the math right. They didn't do the criteria right. That kind of thing could be reviewed. But the weighting, the 80-20 weighting, is not reviewed. That's what's embedded in the RFP. And as long as they follow the process correctly, fairly, this reviewer is not going to second-guess that weighting. Now, this board, when it gets that contract for approval, can do that. This board can hear those bidders come in and say, you put, the department put too much weight on pricing, and it ended up with this bad result for the county, where we got somebody who's charging too much for essentially lower quality service, and in this instance, we don't think that makes sense. And you can vote the contract down. I mean, you'll be able to hear the contract bidders sitting at the table to make those arguments in front of you when you have the contract in front of you. But the reviewer here was only going to look at pricing to the extent of fairness in the process, not did they write the RFP correctly. So it's somewhat more nuanced. It's not that the reviewer is never going to look at pricing. They're only going to look at pricing in certain aspects of it.
Sorry, I thought you were going to, because I think Supervisor Staskunas was getting at what I've asked of Corp Counsel on this, because what we're most familiar with was this latest determination. When you look at Mr. Barger now, when you look at this process, you believe that it could still have come to the same result because of that the standards don't change so much that because I think I asked a similar question of them, and so I want them to be able to comment to that. Do you understand what I'm getting at again? That
sure.
Having to do with how we looked at it previously. Does the standard change in a way that it would arrive at different results?
Sure, Mr. Chairman and Supervisors. We did have this discussion the other day a little bit, and having been through the Administrative Review Committee process and heard some of the questions that were asked and so on, I think that a reviewer under the proposed process here could have found that under the standards included in the proposed process that there were some questions and that the contract should have been awarded. Maybe not exactly for the reason that you just expressed, Supervisor, on the pricing, but on some other issues. So I think there is within the scope of this, there would have been the ability for a reviewer to have determined that there were some problems with the way the RFP was administered for some of the reasons that were expressed in questions by the Administrative Review Committee during the process.
Sorry. Thank you. Supervisor Staskunas, you still have the floor. I felt like there was... We were on the same.
Okay.
Other comments, questions from committee? Supervisor Weisson.
Thank you. I think this comes right back around now full circle that I just don't hear the justification for changing the process, that we had a review panel made up of county board supervisors. They listened to the evidence. They came back with a judgment that said, you know, this process wasn't, quite appropriate. I don't see where we are somehow making an improvement in the system here. And in fact, what I see is we're creating a less likely outcome that there would be a change, that if someone disagreed with what the process was and the award of the contract, you're creating a system that narrows the opportunity for changing that outcome. When you have a reviewer that is appointed by the county executive, that county executive is not going to select somebody who is not on their team. And when you look at this 3-year term or whatever, it's not going to take long that if you're a reviewer that constantly overturns what the administration wanted, that guess what? You're not going to be reappointed, that kind of stuff. And this nonsense about, well, we get, just a thumbs up or thumbs down on a contract, and that's when we get to weigh in, that's way too late, because we'll get stuck under that, you know, oh, we have to do this tomorrow, otherwise, you know, the world's going to collapse. That on the transit system, had we not, you know, been able to extend our contract, we would have been under the pressure of, if you don't vote for this contract, no matter how bad it is, the buses will stop tomorrow. And you put the board in an impossible situation. So I honestly don't see where the improvements are on this. And actually, I think this is a lot of technical changes and a lot of different sections to really think through the logic of what the impacts might be. So I'd like to move layover of the item till the next cycle.
Okay. The motion before committee is layover. No comments on layover. Supervisor Borkowski.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. You know, I guess in the scope of things, waiting another month is not going to matter a hill of beans, because we've waited this long. Okay. However, if we are going to lay this over, then I would ask that we need to do something. And the comptroller, his staff, Director Lee, and procurement, and endless other people have spent a lot of time right now putting together this package. Okay. And if we're just going to sit here and just say no all the time, it's not fair to anybody. And so if we're going to lay this over, then I am going to request that whatever supervisors or people have to make for amendments, that they're submitted so that when we take this up next month, that we're good to go. But, you know, this is now the second or third time that we're laying this over, and quite frankly, I don't think that's being productive at all.
Yeah, Supervisor Weishaupt.
Just said. I have yet to ever receive a phone call from anybody who created these documents to say, we want to meet with you, Supervisor, and explain any of this and the rationale for changing any of it. The fact is, we get an agenda and a packet a few days before. You do your homework, you go through it, you raise questions. The fact is that, you know, they've had months to put this together, months to contact supervisors and brief them on the importance of it and the impact of it. So I don't think now that, because I've just had a few days, a whole 72 hours to review what they've produced, that somehow it's unwarranted that we asked for more time. Had they done the preliminary work prior to this, maybe I wouldn't be asking for the layover.
Supervisor Borkowski on layover.
Right. Well, Mr. Chairman, okay, I can support layover for a month, okay? Now, it goes both ways. Sure, we all as supervisors like to be contacted and walk through everything, but, you know, the onus and initiative is also on us, too. This has not been an item that this is brand spanking new. And so this thing has been in the works for quite some time, literally months, Mr. Chairman, literally months. And so I'll support a layover for a month to allow people to ask their questions, to put whatever they want to make this an even better resolution. But I would hope that we would not use the point that we need to wait for a phone call from department heads or somebody else. We can take some initiative, too.
All right.
Actually, Supervisor Weishaupt covered a lot of what I would have said, which is, I don't think there's anything wrong in looking at this and being deliberative and seeing that it really is an improvement. But just to answer one of the rationales Supervisor Borkowski used as to why we should vote yes and proceed, it's because they've done a lot of work. Well, you know, just because somebody's done a lot of work and put a lot of hours into something doesn't mean it's an improvement on what we're doing now. It doesn't mean it's a good work product. It doesn't mean it's the right way to go. And, I mean, maybe that's the rationale that got the county board in trouble on some issues in the past. Well, gee whiz, they put over 100 hours of work into it, and they've studied it for 6 months, therefore we must vote yes. Well, I'm glad they're putting the work in, but we still get to evaluate it on whether it's a good work product or a bad work product. And I don't base a vote, and I hope nobody else does on this board, on, well, I have to vote yes because they've worked really hard on it.
Motion is layover. On the motion.
Supervisors Borkowski.
Aye.
Johnson.
Aye.
Weishan.
Aye.
Broderick.
Aye.
Rainey.
Aye.
Saskunas.
Aye.
Mr. Chair.
Aye.
7 ayes, 0 noes. The motion to layover for one cycle prevails.